The Bible tells us the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, you shall not borrow. So, Father, your word says that you would send rain to us. And we come to you by the blood of Jesus, not by our own merits, not by our own works, but by the grace of God. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this land, and we ask you to send rain to us according to your word. You said you would, and we believe it. We've made preparations with our animals and our pastures, and we receive this rain with thanksgiving. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any other prayer requests? Nope. Okay. Open up your Bibles. Then, oh, wait a minute. We better do communion first. We better do communion. You guys were sweating it back there, weren't you? And we were going to go right into church and not even do children's. Oh, that would have been bad, huh? Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion, and we will... receive from his goodness. You know, if you have a type, you have an anti-type. And Paul told us that the only reason that Christians... Did you know there's only one reason in the Bible that it gives for sickness and death? In the Bible, Paul said, the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So, if there's a type, then there's an anti-type. So we can figure out in our lightning fast minds that if we do discern the body of Christ, that we can have health and healing and wholeness. Amen. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. He said, and he was telling his disciples, you're taking my life into you. And it was too much for these guys. And they kind of backed away, but Holy Spirit got the church together on this communion thing. God gave us some specific directions on how to make this bread. It's called mitzvah bread. God doesn't do anything by accident. He gave specific directions to not use yeast in this bread. Yeast is significant of sin. When we're discerning the body of Christ, we need to certainly look at his sinless body and see our sins judged on his body on that cross. This bread also has been beaten flat. Jesus was certainly beaten for us. He was beaten and bruised for us. Also in this bread, there's stripes. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. This bread has been pierced. Know this, that everywhere that Jesus shed his blood, if he shed his blood out of anywhere, it was for our redemption. We got freedom in some area every time he shed his blood. And this bread is slightly burned. When Jesus was on that cross, God laid the full wrath of his fiery judgment on Jesus. That wrath that was meant for us. You know, we were destined for the cross. That was our rightful place. But Jesus took our place so that we can take his. Amen? And now you are children of God. His body was broken. We're taking this for our healing, our health, and our well-being. Everything God does is better than anything man ever created. If you'll notice, this mitzvah bread tastes about 50 times better than those little plastic rice wafers that they hand out. His blood was shed all over the place. It wasn't spilled. It wasn't by accident. It was on purpose. It was for our redemption. It cost His blood to save us from the gates of hell. Not only did His blood save us, but His blood completely washed away our sins. And His blood continually cleanses us from all sin. And His blood protects us. We enter to the throne room of grace by the blood of Jesus. Our prayers are answered because of His blood and His name. Amen. Amen. When we properly discern the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit honors that. The angels honor that. God honors that. And we receive the blessings that He meant for us to receive from that. Amen? Oh, I guess we could go to children's church if you must. Wow, nobody has shoes on today. At least you got them with you. All right. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us and shows us how to rightfully divide Your word of truth. We thank You, Father, that because You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we can confidently open up Your word. We can read it. We can look into it. We can behold Jesus in Your word. And we can receive revelation from You about our risen Lord and Savior. And we can walk in a new degree of freedom. We praise You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been studying about Jesus, when He was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." And we found out that there's quite a few things that got finished. More than what you would think just at the blink of an eye, just reading through that. It wasn't just the passion of Christ that was finished. The cross made all the difference in the world. Everything changed after the cross. We found out that the fulfillment of God's word came to pass. You know, God had been prophesying about Jesus ever since the garden. You know, when He told the serpent, said, "There's coming one that's going to bruise your head." That was the first prophecy of Jesus. And God made all kinds of prophecies, and they all came to fulfillment on that cross. And then there's still some that are still coming to fulfillment. Amen? And we found out that Satan was defeated. Did you know you don't have to defeat Satan? There's too many people running around trying to defeat a defeated foe. You don't have to defeat Him. Jesus did that. Jesus did that. Now, you just have to take up your position in Christ and enforce that defeat in your life. You enforce it. Another thing we found out was that He broke down the middle wall of partition. Not only now, the Jews and the Gentiles are no longer separated, but they're brought together. You know, we got grafted into that family. You know, you can take a branch from one tree and graft it into another tree. I seen a picture of a tree that had something like 30 different kinds of fruits on this tree, or 30 different kinds of blooms on this tree. This guy keeps grafting these different trees into this tree, and they grow. That's what happened to you. When you got born again, you got grafted into the body of Christ. You actually got baptized into the body of Christ. Completely immersed. Now your life is hid in Him. Amen? Now you became one. The body of Christ. Now the devil knows that. So he put schisms in there. Now we got 7,500 different denominations, or maybe more, I don't know. It's so carried away to the point now, all it takes is a resentment in a coffee pot to start another church. The Bible tells us that He is going to bring us together in the spirit of the unity of the faith, not the doctrine. Amen. So don't get caught up in these doctrinal wars that people have. Just go on believing on the blood of the Lamb and keep believing on what He did for you on that cross. Amen. Jesus will take care of the rest. The Holy Spirit will bring the rest forward. Amen. He's been bringing the church forward for a long time. You know, in the Dark Ages, the only people that had a Bible were the Catholics. And not every place had one. And anyway, one of the people finally found out that you needed to be born again. You know, this guy was a priest. Somebody asked him if he had ever read the Bible, New Testament. He said no. Where is one? He found one. He went over and found one, read that, found out it needed to be born again. Holy Spirit brought a bunch of them people out of the Catholic Church. Another group of people found out that you needed to be water baptized. Brought them forward. Another group of people found out you needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brought them forward. But He didn't just leave those back. He keep bringing them forward. And He's going to keep bringing the full church forward in Revelation, just like He told Peter, said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. That's the rock of Revelation. He's going to keep bringing people forward. Don't be shocked when you learn something new. I know that sounds silly, but there's a lot of people that look at you like you slapped them with a wet fish when you tell them something new. Well, that's not the way Mama's church did it. Guess what? We're going to keep learning of Jesus and God forever. Amen. It's not going to stop. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 55. You know, every one of us would be good to just go to these scriptures right here and look it square in the eye. Look it for what it is and get it settled in our heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 says, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you realize that you've done all the dying that you're going to do, and that the grave is not your destination, but the arms of God is, that'll take some fear out of you. See, death is a mystery to people. That's why so many people are afraid to die. We were not created to die. We figured out that last week in the garden when Adam ate that tree he was not supposed to eat of, and God had to kick him out of the garden so he didn't eat of the tree of life and live forever in that sin state. He was not supposed to die. He was not created to die. God told him to go multiply, be blessed, go multiply. And he was supposed to, I believe in my heart, he was supposed to just keep that garden and keep expanding that garden and growing and going and keep on having kids and making a big family for God. And that garden, I believe, was supposed to cover this whole world. Amen. But he sinned. And then death got a foothold. You know, God never created death. That was not His idea. That was the devil's idea. God created life. And He wants you to have life, and He wants you to have it more abundantly. another thing in here. Our victory is in Christ Jesus. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You know, I've seen a lot of people that have tried really hard to be successful in their Christian life and tried to have a successful relationship with God and try to do things right, and they try hard and they try hard and they try hard, and they get more frustrated and more frustrated, and they just keep getting beat down and beat down until they finally quit. Why would that be? Because they're under the law. You know, people will run around getting people saved by grace and tell them you're saved by grace, and then give them a list of 10 things that they must do in order to stay saved. The one thing that you must do is believe on the Lord Jesus. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus. If it puts pressure on you to perform, if it puts pressure on you to be good enough, if it puts pressure on you, stop. Put the pressure on Jesus and believe what he did for you on that cross and walk in grace. We're going to get into this a little deeper in this study today, but I'm going to just tell you, you need to stay away from the law. You stay on the grace side of the cross and you believe what he did and you let him live his life through you. Your life is hid in him. Let him shine through you. Let him produce the fruit. Amen. Now go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. You know, sometimes, you know, that last scripture we just read, you know, when we look sin, when we look death in the eye and say, you have no power over me. Because I'm just going to change addresses. You realize that's what happens, don't you? You just change addresses. You ever wondered why when you're at a funeral and the casket's there and everybody's whispering? They're always being reverent to this guy in the casket. He's not there. Yeah. His earth suit is there. That thing's going to perish. He's at home. He's shouting, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He just changed addresses. That's all you're going to do. Now, when you got that squared up, and the devil attacks you with some kind of a horrible disease, and the doctor says you got 35 days left, go get your affairs in order. Now you can say, you know what? My affairs are in order, but I'm not going to let the devil take me out this way. He has no say in my life. I will decide when I go home. Amen. Paul said that. Paul decided when he was going to go home. He didn't let the devil decide. You know, the devil tried to kill him a whole bunch of times. He said, no. That ain't happening. He got drowned. He got beat. He got stoned. He got left. They left him for dead. I mean, he got bit by a viper. This dude, by the grace of God, stayed alive in spite of himself. In spite of the devil. The devil tried to kill him, but God kept him alive by his grace until Paul decided, hey, I'm ready. He had a struggle with that for a little while. He said, you know, for me to go is gain, you know, because I can be with God. But to stay here is better for y'all because you don't know much. See, he still had some more New Testament to write. So it was a good thing, but he decided when it was time to go. He didn't let the doctors decide for him. He didn't let the devil decide for him. He didn't let anybody else decide for him. He decided Amen? And as far as that goes, God said, as far as He's concerned, your days on this earth would be 120 years. That's what He said our days on this earth would be. Moses made it to 120 years. And he was in good shape. See, we have that blessing, and there's a curse out there. And people have this habit of pulling on the curse and shortening those years. Depending on how efficient we are at pulling on that curse is going to define how many years we lose, take off the back end. Amen. I always thought it was kind of odd. But my friend told me, he's a pastor, and he would go to one nursing home in one county, the county that we lived in. He said it was usually kind of a gloomy place to be, kind of a hard place. And a county up above us, he'd go to that nursing home, and he said he loved that place. He said they had a rocking good time in there. And he said, finally he figured out that all them people in that nursing home in the county that's north of us, they were all Pentecostal people, man. They were shout. They were in there praying in tongues. They were shouting hallelujah. They were celebrating life. They were having a good time. And they just kept living and living and living and living. They lived a long time. Amen. See, death should have no reign over you. We're not to be afraid of death. If anything, you should be a little excited about your new change of address. If that happens to be. Other than that, you should be excited about watching God pull off a miraculous victory in your life if the devil attacks you. Amen? He's given us the tools. I better get back on assignment here. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That would be Adam. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive. You should take your favorite crayon right now and circle this verse. No matter what, don't ever let this verse get away from you. Circle this thing. I know that you've heard people say of the grace, message said that's just a license to sin, or that's just sloppy grace. That's nonsense. Here's the answer to that, right here. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That's how you beat sin. Receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's your breastplate. It talks about that armor in Ephesians. You got your breastplate of righteousness. How do you put that on? By understanding that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what He did. You're in right standing. That's your breastplate. Get that thing on there. Make that a Make that verse part of your life. Understand that you're in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Amen? Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Just the very fact, I mean, if it were even possible that somebody could actually be born and not make a single mistake in this life. I mean, just walk perfect. Just the very fact that you have Adam's blood coursing through your veins means that you need a Savior. Amen? Amen. I've actually had people say they've never done anything wrong. All right. Whatever. Okay. You know. I mean, we'll see more about that later. But therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's right standing. See, when Adam was in the garden and he sinned, he got kicked out of the presence of God. He was no longer in right standing with God. But Jesus was in right standing with God. When we said, Jesus, be my Lord, we got put into right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And here's an interesting thing. I actually had a guy tell me, said if you make the same mistake over and over again, eventually you're going to fall out of grace. Here's the thing. If anything, you fall into grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know, one of the people asked Jesus, said, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he said, pretty much all the time. If God has that standard for a man, what kind of standard does he have for himself? Don't be afraid that you're going to make some mistake that God can't fix it. We can't look at God as a human father. We have to look God as our loving heavenly Father. I know that there's some people that have told their kids that you don't ever show your face around here again. But they still love them. And I don't know of a mom that doesn't love them. They may say a lot of things, but in their heart, there's still a piece there that no matter what that kid did, they still love that kid. Amen? And sometimes, this is the thing about covenants, this is the thing about marriage and covenants, is you have a couple of kids get married, they're in a covenant. Well, mom and dad are in that covenant on both sides of the aisle. Amen? Mom and dad are in that covenant. And you still have soul ties to that one that wandered off. And that's why it still hurts sometimes. Amen? Now, if the covenant's been broken and destroyed and the contract is null and void, then you need to break the soul tie off. Amen? You need to get that straight. Oh, sometimes people get divorced. But a part of you went with that spouse. And a part of that spouse went with you. We're going to take this to a second here. But you got to cut those soul ties off. You had a covenant. You had a covenant in the eyes of God. And this is a valid thing. You got to cut those soul ties off. Send them back to them and bring yours back to you. That's why you still think about them. You know, you're not in love with them no more, but you still think about them. Amen? If you have any questions about that, get a hold of me later. This is important. You need to get that dealt with. Now, let's get back on. I don't know where we're going to land sometimes, but verse 21 says, that is, sin has reigned even unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're going to let Jesus' life flow through us. Remember, you were grafted in. You're a branch. He's the vine. All our life comes through Him when we abide in the vine. That life comes through us and produces fruit. Amen? Now let's go to chapter 6, verse 9. Being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. If death has no dominion over him, it has no dominion over us. As he is, so are we now in this world. See, the biggest challenge with people is to just sit down and receive the new creation realities that Jesus did for us when he, in his death, burial, and his resurrection. You know, that's the first part of learning to walk by faith, is to sit by faith. Now go to chapter 8, verse 1. These two verses, highlight these two verses, make these verses yours, know them in your heart, and don't ever let them go away. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation for you. Not from God. Not from God. You make a mistake and you feel bad about it. If you can fix it, fix it. But your response is, Father, I thank you that you dealt with this. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I apologize for that. I know you've already forgiven me of that. You've already did that. I'm not going to receive condemnation. If you're feeling bad about a mistake you did 2 years ago, and don't. The devil's beating you up with the law. I don't know, 2 years sounds like a long time ago, but I know people that felt bad for 30 years. They will not forgive themselves of what they did 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. That's not right. Jesus took care of that. We want to walk in all the freedom that we can. We have to receive His forgiveness. Amen? Now this next verse, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's one of the things we have to receive, you know, as a new creation reality. We're under a whole new deal. The cross made all the difference. He took us out of the law. You know, the punishment for breaking the law was death. But God in His goodness gave them animal sacrifices so that they could have the shedding of blood, so that they could have an atonement for their sin. But they had to do that all the time. But Jesus, the one perfect Lamb of God, got on our cross that was meant for us and died for all of our sins and set us free from that terrible state we were in. We no longer have to be cowed down to our challenges. Jesus was tempted in all ways. He was tempted in everything that we've ever been. You know, there's nothing new. He was tempted with all of it. He was tempted with food. He was tempted with everything. You know, Satan put him on a pinnacle and said, all of this is yours if you bow down to me. You know how many people will bow down? There's people bowing down every day. There's people all over the world that are bowing down. Satan offers them money, offers them sex, offers them fame, offers them power, offers them popularity, offers them all kinds of things, and they bow their knee to him. They do it all the time. And then they get money, sex, drugs, power, fame. But here's the thing. Satan is a parasite. And he needs a host to live off of. He's like a tick. And he will drain you till you have nothing left. And then leave you to die. You ever wondered about politics? Politicians? They got that word from two words. Poly. Ticks. They're not your friends. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. Start at verse 5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's a good place to be. You know. Don't think you can do it. Think He can do it through you. Amen? I know the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. People get this attitude that we can do all things, but it's through Him. It's His strength. It's His life. It's His name. It's His word. It's Him. You know, Jesus said, whatever you shall ask, that will I do. We do the asking, He does the doing. The God gets the glory. Amen? Well, you don't get mixed up about this. Keep it simple, and you'll rock through life. It's fun. But just keep it simple. Verse 6 says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now, He's not talking about just preachers. Every one of you has a ministry, and you're more than able to fulfill that ministry. He did tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, our world could be our neighbor. Our world could be somebody at the hardware store. Our world could be somebody at the grocery store, post office, the bank. It could be anywhere you land. There's somebody that needs to know Jesus. Amen? And you can see them. Look for the hurting ones. You know, there's some really hurting people. When you find somebody that's really hurting, go up there and console them and pray for them. You'd be surprised at the ones that will gladly receive that prayer. And sometimes they'll even get born again. Amen? We've been called to be witnesses. And He's made you able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, here's what's going to happen. When we see a hurting people, there's two ways it could go. And it goes either way. Flip of a coin. Depends on who grabs this person. Somebody go up there and say, "Son, you need to quit drinking, and you need to quit chewing, and you need to quit smoking, and you need to quit cussing, and you need to quit running around with unmarried girls, and you need to go to church." What happened? They just filled them full of death, full of the letter, full of the law. And they said, "Son, look at this. Jesus died for you on the cross. And He's not mad at you. And He wants to help you. Can I pray for you? Encourage you a little bit? Invite you to church?" And if they're a real hardcore alcoholic, tell them to have a toddy before they get to church, so they don't go into DTs while they're in here. Give God a little bit of time to get His Word into their heart to change them from the inside out, so that they can have that life of God flowing into them, so that they can have a chance to survive. What is that? That's telling them, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But too many people want to tell people, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. They're getting that verse backwards. Don't do that. Go tell somebody God's not mad at them. And then go to church. "Well, I don't have any good clothes." I don't care about your clothes. Honestly, I really don't. God doesn't either. He cares about you getting there. Amen? And He'll take care of the rest, okay? That irritates me. I got ran in over church one time because I didn't have good enough clothes on. It sounds funny, but that stuck with me for a long, long, long miserable time. Because I thought I had to get my life together and get my affairs in order before I could go to church. Don't ever be that person that preaches that on the street. The only way people can get their life together is to go to God. He's the only one that can do that for them. Amen? Oh boy, we better keep going here. "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with." See, that's the law. That's a fading glory. Things of the law faded away, but things of the Spirit have this new glory. And that's where we're at. That's where we want to be. We want to be in this new, fresh glory. The latter rain. Amen? The latter rain. Watch the glory of God shine on His church in a way that you never even imagined. You know, one time I seen a guy talking about this one time. The latter rain, the former rain, the latter rain, and the glory of God and all this stuff. And he had it twisted in his mind to be money. He said, "The church is going to have this money." I'm telling you what, the church is going to have the glory of God on them in such a way that there's nobody can doubt who they are. They're going to be out there on the streets, operating in the ministry that God designed them to be in. They're going to be operating in miracles. They're going to be out there operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be dealing with people and getting people set free. They're going to be casting out devils. They're going to get people born again. They're going to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And these people will go forth as a church in one body in the name of Jesus, and they're going to have a end time revival that has never been seen before, so that God can rapture his church out of here, so that the devil can go ahead and have his way and have the tribulation. Amen. And then we can come back here for 1,000 years. Praise God. There is a millennial reign, and it's going to be fun. But not everybody on this earth during the millennial reign is going to be born again. Seems hard to believe, doesn't it? Some people are going to survive the tribulation. Did you know that? Yeah. Some people are going to survive the tribulation. Because they got to have Armageddon. It ain't going to be Christians fighting in Armageddon. It ain't going to be Christians' blood flowing in Armageddon. That's going to be people that ain't born again. Why would that be? Look over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. When we behold Jesus, he's our high priest, the author and finisher of our faith. That's for us. When we look to him, we see the glory. We see the grace. But there's a veil over some people, just as there was a veil over Moses' face. And the preaching of the law causes a veil to come over people's hearts. And they won't see the gospel. They won't see Jesus. They won't see the need for him. That veil needs to be broken. You know, there's people that are masked behind this veil, and you pray for those people, that they'd see their need for Jesus. Open their hearts to receive him. You've been made ministers, ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. Ministers of the highest rank. That's you. That's you. We're called to go into all the world and preach to these people. Witness to them, people. Witness unto the resurrection of Christ. Tell people God's not mad at them. Tell them that he loves them. That he died on the cross for them. That he wants them to be a part of his family. Invite them to church. Be the glorious church that God designed you to be. Be that light that's on a hill, shining for all men to see. We don't need any undercover Christians nowadays. We need them to be bold. We need them to be courageous. Amen? Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Offend them. Don't be afraid to offend somebody. I tell you, If they land, hell's got to be the most offensive place ever. And if somebody ends up in hell, they're really going to be offended. But it's not going to be on us. We're going to tell them about Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that each time we take your word in our hearts, it produces fruit in your kingdom, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold return on your word. Father, we ask this day that the Holy Spirit would so fall on this church, light us up in such a way that people cannot resist but be around us. Draw people to the cross by the Holy Spirit. Father, use us to express your love to a lost and dying world. Father, use us in Jesus' name. Show us who to pray for. Show us who to witness to. Show us who to invite. Show us who to talk to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we got some snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. I invite everybody to come back. And if you have any questions about what I mentioned earlier, don't hesitate to ask me.